This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
To begin, brothers and sisters, there is a good friend of mine, near and dear to my heart, who had become a rather high-profile personality. His work atmosphere surrounded him with nobody but millionaires. And his society was one that was cultured in being loud and proud about your Christianity. And so you put those two together, every single one of these millionaires is always claiming that the source of their financial prosperity is the so-called prosperity doctrine, prosperity gospel. They carry it on their chain, the cross is the reason, or tattooed onto their arm that Jesus made me rich. Year over year, the brother actually got kind of confused. I don't know a single person except they're a millionaire, and every single one of them preaches this gospel. So he actually left Islam and studied that other faith and realized that faith, according to its scripture, has nothing to do with what these people are saying, the wishful thinking of what they claim Christianity was. And alhamdulillah, he eventually made his way back into Islam. But I came across him in this period, and he mentioned to me this problem. Why does it seem like all the Christians are just filthy rich, and all of the Muslims seem to be broke and beat up all over the world? And I said to him, hold on just one second. You think so because of the bubble that you live in. Do you think all the Christians of the world are filthy rich? Some of the poorest countries in the world are a Christian majority. And some of the wealthiest individuals in the world are Muslim. So there's got to be another explanation. It's not the religion. And it actually reminded me as I went through these conversations with him that this is a very Quranic concept. Like the Quran, before I even mention the verse, gets us to think, can you imagine what it would be like if every single person, the moment they became Muslim, the moment they took their Shahada, prosperity would pour upon them. Like you'd become filthy rich the moment you became a believer. That would make it too easy to become a believer. What would the test of life mean at that point? When you get paradise instantly. And look at the flip side. Can you also imagine if the moment you disbelieve in God, prosperity pours down upon you, you become filthy rich? That would actually make the test of life too hard. Like it's very obvious here, every single last person. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Zukhruf, وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. And were it not for the fact, meaning I did what I'm about to tell you I did, so that not everyone becomes among the disbelievers. He says, were it not for the fact that all of humanity would be following a single faulty religion, لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةِ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ. We would have granted every last person, the moment they disbelieve in God, ceilings of solid silver. What does that mean? Not just sort of your ring, not just even the wall or the floor. The ceiling that we don't look up too much would be made out of treasures. وَمَعَارِجَ. And even your staircases would be made out of like solid gold, solid platinum, solid silver. وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ. And even the what your homes have of doors, just the gates outside, and even the beds that you recline on, even though you're going to throw a cushion on top of it, all of that would be zukhruf, would be this extravagant, expensive treasure. Meaning, were it not for the fact that it would make the test of life too hard, I would have had the disbelievers all live it up in this world. Well, Allah didn't do that, did He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of mercy for the truth seeker, out of mercy for the believer, out of mercy for the open-minded person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam similarly says in the hadith, لو أن الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء. If this world had any value, real value, in the sight of God, he would not have granted the disbeliever in it, not a mosquito, the wing of a mosquito. If this world were worth even the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah, he would not have granted the disbeliever in it a drink of water. You know, Allah grants the disbeliever here, a lot of times at least, not all the time, so much more than a drink of water. Some of them live it up. And that is why Surah Al-A'raf tells you, by the way, that on the Day of Judgment, because the value is in the real world, the next world, they will not even be allowed to have that drink of water. And so Allah, the bottom line, grants this world, not guaranteed, but he may grant this world to those he loves, he may grant this world to those he hates. He only gives faith to those that he loves. And of course, in that is the greatest single treasure in this world, where you're not even dependent on any comfort or luxury in this world. However, there is some truth, brothers and sisters, to what confused our brother in the story I began with. Allah may withhold this world and some of its prosperity, especially from the believer, because he loves the believer. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said, "Inna Allaha idha habba qawman ibtalahum," when Allah loves a person, he puts them through trials, puts them through turbulence, puts them through tribulations. Why? One of the wisdoms in that is that it helps them not fall for the illusion of this world, become dependent on it and its delights, its comforts, its luxuries. Helps him not rely on this world or think it's his purpose, or think they've already arrived at paradise, so there's no other paradise to be worked for. Allah protects them from that through tribulations, if he loves them. That is the idea. Even the Quran, subhanAllah, it speaks about the very first human being ever loved by Allah Azza wa Jal, which is our father Adam alayhi salam. Allah says, "Falamma dhaqa shajarata badat lahuma sawatuhuma." When they tasted, not had their fill, the moment they tasted the forbidden tree, the consequences came right away. And then you think about the most beloved person ever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad, the last of the prophets now, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When the Sahaba saw a bit of this world glimmer, wink at them, at the Battle of Uhud, when they were outnumbered 4-1, and somehow they had the upper hand in the first few hours of the battle, and then they disobeyed Allah, and they went for the treasures. Immediately the punishment came. Immediately the consequence came. They were struck, afflicted in the most beloved thing to them, not even their lives, more beloved than that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was attacked. He was knocked unconscious. He was gashed. He was injured. Can you imagine the punishment didn't come fast? That would not be in the Sahaba's best interest. Okay, we disobeyed and things went on. It was fine. That would actually put them in worse standing in the grander scheme of things on the Day of Judgment. And likewise, it's not just the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. It's every member of his ummah. Allah treats them this way out of his love and protective concern for them. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ummati hadhihi ummatun marhumah." This nation of mine, this global community of believers, they are a nation that has been granted a distinct share, an extra share of mercy, of compassion from Allah. لَيْسَ لَهَا عَذَابٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, in that it does not have a punishment in the next world the way the others do. عَذَابُهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, its punishment comes early, it comes immediate in this world. الْفِتَنُ وَالزَّلَازِلُ وَالْقَتْلُ, in the form of anarchy, chaos, earthquakes, and killing, being killed. So every member of the ummah, you know, I recall, and I have to omit a whole lot of details for this, but a brother came up to me about 80 years old, in shambles, weeping for days straight. And he told me that I've pretty much been like this for the last few years. This man was a huge entrepreneur, hundreds of millions of dollars. And at about this age, he loses everything, loses all of his money. His network vanishes into thin air. His wife walks out on him. She blackmails his kids into never speaking to him again. The blow after blow became so unbearable, he lost his mental health as well. And he's explaining all this to me, and I have no idea. What do I say to someone like this? And just as I'm sitting there wondering what can I possibly say to make things a little better, he says, but you know what, Sheikh? Wipes his tears, says, riba. Interest. I built my empire on interest. So I said, alhamdulillah, that Allah uncovered for you before you meet him the reason so that you don't have to meet him and answer for any of this. He uncovered for you the problem. Is this not a sign of love that you didn't hit the wall called death full speed? You know, there's also a sister that she's not from this community or from this state actually, but she was visiting. And she's going through vicious cycles of marital conflict. And she basically asks, why is this happening to me? Like, fix my life for me. So before I can advise her, she makes a very important disclaimer. She says, but listen, don't tell me the standard Sheikh stuff. Don't tell me this, like, you know, it's because you're not religious, and it's because you don't dress properly, and it's, she said all of this before I could speak. Don't tell me it's because I don't pray my five. Don't try it. Because I know people who aren't even believers who have happy marriages. So I sent her a message. I said, hold on. First of all, you don't actually know that. You may be watching their highlight reel online somewhere, and they have it worse than you. They're just faking it up front. They're putting a front on for the world, and you'll get their divorce notification soon, right? But second of all, let us imagine it's true. Allah Azza wa Jal chose to not let you drift from him because he loves you. Why don't you read it that way? At times, some people are given more rain in this world because they've used up their chances. They've turned a blind eye to enough notifications from the divine subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that the ayah that we've cited weeks ago, and we said that the ummah, everything the Muslims are going through right now, is more of a reason than ever for us all to better ourselves, to improve our individual and collective standing in front of Allah, because we're going through so much suffering right now. And I cited that Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Why is it that when the suffering came, they didn't humble themselves already? Like, if not now, then when exactly? That's when everyone goes back to God, between a rock and a hard place. Why is it that when our suffering came, you didn't come back to God? Allah says, but the reason is, he answers it, the hearts had become hard, and the shaitan, the devil, has beautified for them what they are doing. No, there's a shortcut. There's a fix outside of being at peace with my creator. I can still be at peace with other people, even without prostrating my body, which will teach my heart to prostrate in front of the creator. Subhanallah. There's another way. زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَأَعْمَالَهُ. This is the verse I shared with you. I want to share today the verse after it. Do you know what happened? Allah says, but their hearts became hard, and so they did not humble themselves even in difficulty. The next verse says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. And so when they insisted on forgetting all of these reminders, these wake-up calls, فَتَحْنَا لَهُمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We, at that point, opened up for them the gates to everything. Eat up. Enjoy. It's all you have. Enjoy. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. And then the verse continues, when they became fully deluded with what this little bit, this worldly offer they were given. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَ. We snatched them back suddenly. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. And now they have no reason to hope. They get snatched back at a point of full despair. To have every reason to despair, may Allah protect us. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he used to say that whenever I disobey Allah, I immediately find the effects of that in my wife and in my riding animal. He's obviously not comparing between the two. He's saying that whether I'm home or I walk out of the house and get in my car, it's always problems. Inside, just problem after problem. He's saying, I notice my disobedience in Allah immediately impacting these things. That's of the signs that Allah loves you. Because if that separation happens, you will never take heed. And I'll mention to you one final incident, brothers and sisters. recently here, a sister came to me and said, Sheikh, I'm trying really hard to be religious. Why? She said, because I've gone through a very difficult, very abusive childhood. And so I'm trying to be religious so that Allah will make my life better, but nothing's changing. I said to her, wait a minute. How do you know that what Allah wants to give you even fits in this world? Maybe He wants to give you something that this world cannot contain. Happiness beyond the happiness available in this world. Joy and peace beyond. How do you know that if He were to give you the lower option, the lesser offering, you will not drift away like before? Because that is the norm in humanity. Allah said that. Allah says, وَإِذَا مَسَّلْ إِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ, when the human being is touched with some sort of suffering, some loss, دَعَانَا, He calls upon us, قَائِمًا, while standing, لِجَنْبِهِ, أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَائِمًا, whether on their side, or sitting or standing, meaning at every posture, like, Ya Rab, what's going on, Ya Rab, they're constantly making earnest dua, right? I'm on my pillow, I'm soaking it with tears, I'm up, I'm talking to myself, God, do you hear me? I'm sitting down, I'm going, in every posture, the verse says. And then the moment we remove from them the affliction, marra, listen to the wording, marra, he continues onward, keeps it moving, keeps walking. كَأَلَّمْ يَدْعُونَا إِلَى ضُرٍ مَسَّ, as if they never called upon us for any suffering that touched them. As if they don't even know our name, as if they never made dua before. As if I didn't just pull them out of this, right? And so sometimes Allah knows. And so He withholds from you as a form of giving you because of what He knows about you. Because He loves you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. This Quranic formula, brothers and sisters, that Allah has a different equation for those that He loves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala handles the believers and the believing ummah differently. This equation, use it to fight off every prompt the shaitan will come at you with. How come this and why that? And you know, we continue to speak about Gaza and why it's taking so long. Brothers and sisters, some of us have, you know, sort of selective amnesia. Gaza, this is its fifth war. Maybe if this one wasn't the longest of them, Allah knows we would not actually change. It's only in this one that we feel everyone around us saying, I'm finally praying. I'm finally seeing this hijab thing as no big deal when I'm seeing all of the modesty come out of the rubble. Right? We're finally mobilizing. Just getting started, but finally mobilizing in unique ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ بَالِ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do these people think, these other people who don't believe in God, do they believe that what we supply them with of wealth, of fortune, and children is us advancing to them, rushing their way, good things? Do they think that we love them simply because we give them of this world? What we started the khutbah with, brothers and sisters. بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. No, they just don't know how to perceive things. They don't realize. And so the believer is expected to realize that at times, sometimes, with those that he hates, he gives them enough rope to choke themselves with. He continues to let them go as if he doesn't mind. And then he snatches those tyrants and oppressors and wrongdoers in a way that only the Almighty can. And sometimes he doesn't give those that he loves to give them the best standing, the best of this life, and the best opportunity for eternity in the next. May we be the latter, may we be forever protected from the former. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to understand the world through the Quran. Say Ameen. May Allah allow us to understand the world through the Quran. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to trust in Him when we don't understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see with our hearts what we cannot see with our eyes, and grant us peace and conviction and faith that will lighten for us the calamities of this world.